Blog Talk Radio.
Daniel Feuerstein here, the Internet Soccer Show. Post-game show, the United States losing down at the office against Jamaica for the very first time. Currently, chat room is not available. We'll let you know when it is so you can come on here and type it up. Along with Earl Reed, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. I'm coming to you live from the Football Factory Legends in New York City. And Earl, it just looks like set pieces kills the United States for their first ever loss against Jamaica, either in Jamaica or on U.S. soil.
Yeah, just really a poor showing for the majority of the match. It seems like it had no confidence, especially after the first set piece by Austin that deflected off of Kyle Beckerman, and then once that happened, it just seemed like Jamaica was never in doubt as far as being the team that was going to end up getting the 3 points, if there was going to be a team that got 3 points. It's just a lackluster performance, and, you know, right now there's got to be a lot of questions in that locker room as far as, you know, where to go from here? What's going on? You know, you got to get ready in 4 days for this same team again to come back at Columbus, and you got to get in there and you got to get 3 points this time.
Absolutely. It's really, really disheartening to see them. I mean, look, we expected Jamaica to score. We expected Jamaica to be a problem, but what we didn't expect is the U.S. to have a lackluster match. Basically, Clint Dempsey scoring within the first 38 seconds of the game, and then it just fell apart after the first free kick goal.
Yeah, and they took an early lead, and I don't want to say they rested on laurels, but I think you definitely, you were, as a manager, Klinsmann set this team up to probably be conservative, probably try and squeeze out a draw on enemy turf, and when you got a goal, you thought, well, that's it. But then you just never saw that come back together after Jamaica tied. You never saw any initiative to go forward. And as you said, it was just set piece. But, you know, you have to question when you've got, I mean, you're giving up these set pieces. I mean, you see this all the time in MLS. You see teams like Houston, Kansas City, LA take advantage of this type of thing all the time. And when are you going to learn that you can't just sit there and try to play pack ball from the 30-yard in your own defensive end? I mean, Kyle Beckerman, Maurice Adu, Jermaine Jones, all they were doing was just going in there and trying to tackle the ball away from a four position, and Jamaica's looking to get their set piece.
It's just got
outfoxed here, and it's lost for words, I think.
Yep, I definitely agree with you, Earl. At the moment, Jamaica will top the group with 7 points. Obviously, these two sides are going to meet again over at Columbus Crew Stadium Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. You can watch that match on ESPN2 online on ESPN3.com. And, you know, it's just very disheartening when you see a team where they're really playing for the draw, Earl. They're really playing for the draw. They're trying to just make it look like that. It just seemed to me that they were content all the way after they got their goal, and all of a sudden, it just fell apart for them in the second half.
Yeah, but it was more than just playing for a draw. You know, Klinsmann has been trying to change the way that the team plays, and what you're seeing, and you saw in the Olympic qualifying, is that this team is not a team that can play, that is comfortable playing that way. You know, you see these fancy passing schemes. Well, when you're playing guys like Jones, Beckerman, and Adu in the midfield, as soon as they get a hold of the ball, they can't play that style. They're not set up for it. And so as soon as they're making passes, and Michael Parker isn't set up for it. I think that losing Steve Cherundolo for this match was huge. I mean, Steve Cherundolo makes plenty of runs up the right side and connects with, you know, usually Landon Donovan. But, you know, you have Parker's there, and he got burned early in the match, and all of a sudden he had to sit back. And you just you saw pass after pass from this team end up, you know, going to yellow jerseys. It's, you know, and then you try doing the long ball, and Clarence Goodson is bombing the ball past everybody. I just see a tactical it's a nightmare right now. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody feels comfortable doing what they're being asked to do, and it's turning into this deal where all you're trying to do is bunker in. Then I mean, you're just trying to withstand all of this pressure that Jamaica's putting on because you cannot move the ball past that midfield three, who just are a plain old giveaway every single time.
You know, Michael Lewis from Big Apple Soccer was tweeting, Brian Ching came off the bench because when the U.S. needed a late goal, he was the guy to bring that opportunity available for the U.S. Do you think it was a mistake for Jurgen Klinsmann to start Clint Dempsey and play the full 90, when he could have been that spark off the bench to get that second goal if possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Because not only that, but you end up having him on there for a full 90 when you actually have to make an offensive substitution. I mean, you could have played the way that you did with those three defensive midfielders and had someone like, you know, in the past he's used Jose Francisco Torres in that kind of transition role, or sometimes Landon Donovan, but maybe more on the right side. But when you do that, now you've cost yourself, you know, instead of bringing on a Dempsey who is maybe 80%, you're forced to leave him in there at probably 40%. You know, I mean, he's just, and you can see he doesn't have that drive at the end of the match to really be able to put anything out there. He's going to be so beat after this match. You know, hopefully he can get back into shape where he can be a contributor. I know he got the first goal, but, you know, I'm not sure that helps in the long run in this match, having him on the field at the beginning of the game. Instead, you're now forced to bring on someone for Maurice Adu, but you can't really bring on someone that can help in that central role. I mean, if you want to change your tactics. I mean, you can bring off Dempsey and bring in, like, Graham Boozy but you can't do that because you've already got someone in that fills that role. I don't know. It seemed like that was a poor tactical move. And, I mean, and it's easy to start blaming everything on the tactics, the way they were set up. You know, I don't want it just to be this, you know, blasting Klinsmann for everything that he did. I mean, it's a tough loss. But I do think that Dempsey, you know, if you're going to play the way you did, I think you needed to have Dempsey come off the bench and be someone who could change your tactic or provide a spark at the end, not be the guy that has to carry this team all the way to the very bitter end when you're chasing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think that this was an opportunity wasted by Jurgen Klinsmann. If you're going to be down by a goal, to have Clint Dempsey come off the bench instead of him starting, and now you've basically drained him for 90 full plus whatever second half stoppage time. And now the question is, what are you going to do when Jamaica comes to Columbus? What are you going to do now But the starting 11, obviously, once again, no Michael Bradley, no Landon Donovan. I mean, you're going to have Clint Dempsey come off the bench, basically. And is he going to have enough spark or enough fitness to go 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Maybe not enough for a half, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the thing is that you're just now in this position where, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. You can't play for a draw in this match in Columbus. You know, you've got to go after it. And in soccer, if you're chasing the game, it can be difficult. I mean, how many times have you seen teams, you know, lost the possession, really, you know, have some, you know, create chance after chance, but then come up empty. I mean, this is just listen, the top two go into the hexagonal. It's not like it's out of the question that, you know, I mean, it's still a likelihood that the U.S. is going to get through this. But they can't have a match where they squander. You know, they can't have a poor match in Columbus and end up drawing. You just don't want to end up going into October where, you know, I'm just at a loss for words. You expect this team to cruise. I mean, maybe not get a win, maybe get a draw, but you definitely don't expect them to concede the way they did. And it all harkens back to a lot of the moves that Klinsmann made. And, you know, let's be honest. Did the Mexico game, did that give overconfidence? You know, did that give him the confidence to go without Bocanegra? I don't know. I don't know what's going through Klinsmann's mind.
I don't know. I absolutely agree with you, Earl. I absolutely agree with you. I don't know what the situation or what Klinsmann was thinking. Obviously, let's not forget that was the greatest night in U.S. soccer history, going down to the Azteca, the greatest home field advantage on the planet, and getting that 1-0 victory. I don't know. Well, I'll simply say this. Half the roster did not go down to Mexico to get that victory. I mean, I would have to think that the guys were mentally ready to go, but for some strange reason, it just seemed like after the first goal by Jamaica to level it, they just went downhill. They had some opportunities before the half came to a close, but for some strange reason in the second half, they just didn't seem to be full on in the second half and just ready to play.
I just saw them trying to play a style that was not conducive to what they were trying to play, and once that started happening, and once they started conceding possession, it was just an uphill battle from there. There was little chance for them to ever go forward. They had a couple of chances, but it was very rare. The link between Dempsey and the forwards wasn't strong enough. It was a tactical nightmare, I think, for the United States. And it's really showing that, you know, no matter what a guy like Klinsmann comes in and wants to do to change things, you know, if you're going to go in there and you're going to play three defensive midfielders who are not particularly well known for their distribution, you're going to struggle. You're just going to struggle, and it's unless you have someone who can slot in there behind the strikers who can connect the dots. And they didn't have that. You know, maybe if they have someone like Sasha Kljestan in this camp, maybe he can provide that role. You know, I don't think Giroud is the guy. I think he's too young right now, but there are very few options for someone who can allow you to play that kind of a style where, you know, Michael Bradley is that guy who can help bring it from the defense up through to the forwards. He can do that, but without him or without Stuart Holden, you're stuck right now. And something may need to be tried that's different. You know, maybe it's bringing Graham Soucy in. You know, there's a possibility there that he has that capability. You know, Jose Francisco Torres is another guy who, you know, we've possibly seen that. But, you know, Klinsmann's options aren't, you know, great. You know, obviously a lot of guys have been injured and going into this rotation, and now they got to play for 3 points at home for sure. There's no bunkering that can be done at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I will say this, though. To me, it looked like Jozy Altidore just wasn't engaged. I mean, I know I'm not saying he's not trying. He really is. But it just seemed like whenever he had an opportunity, he couldn't put it away, or it was a poorly taken shot. I know he's doing well with Akamar up in the Eredivisie, but it just seemed to be he just couldn't seem to get anything going in this national team game, this qualifier.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's a lot to do with the tactical problems in the midfield. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you aren't getting service, there's not much you can do. I mean, you can be coming back for the ball and whatnot, but then you have Dempsey there who is playing, you know, in kind of a left midfield cutting into that central space, and again, you have a guy who's not fully fit playing that role, and so, you know, it's just, I think this match did a disservice to Altidore. I think he's definitely in good form, and when a guy's in good form, you got to find a way to get him the ball one way or the other, and if you're not getting him the ball, I can't see that as being his problem. I mean, I don't think Altidore needs to be coming deep and, you know, trying to get the ball. I think he needs to be up front, and you need a link player to help him. And so maybe that's another issue is, you know, was he the right choice in this match? I think he is if you get someone who can get him the ball, you know, and he's not getting that right now. And at least in this match, maybe things will change when they're at home and they have a crowd behind them, but tonight, it was dismal, and, you know, I'd love to see how many touches Altidore actually got on the ball, because I don't think it was that many.
In your opinion, what did Jamaica do right? Outside of the free kicks, outside of the two goals on the set pieces, what did you think Jamaica did correctly that maybe got the USA off their game?
Well, I think what they did is they took it right at the defensive midfield of the United States. I think, you know, you thought, well, maybe they would play a lot wide because they were playing sort of a modified five-man back line. So you've got, you know, wing backs that are coming up the sides. But really what they did was is that they took it right at that central midfield and, you know, forced, almost looked for the contact. You know, it's not like they took a lot of shots from the run of play. I mean, what they would do is they would cut in. They would cut through that 20 to 30-yard range, and as soon as, you know, a defender or a defensive midfielder went to tackle them, I mean, it was to ground, and a lot of it was, you know, a lot of the contact caused that, caused those guys to go to ground, but, you know, they're not going to try to fight through that. That's what they want. They want set pieces, and, you know, the goal, I mean, it was very reminiscent, not so much how the goals went in, but, you know, it was reminiscent of the match in the U-23s where, you know, actually the Guatemala game. The Guatemala game, you had a set piece where, was it Marco Papa?
Marco Papa put it in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't exactly the same. I mean, the second goal was probably closer to what happened in that, you know, with Papa's goal. So, you know, it was just eerily reminiscent. I mean, that's going to be the tactic when you play such a bunker, clog the midfield kind of thing. Is let's try to cause some inaccurate hacks by guys like Jones and Beckerman, and when that happens, we've got a perfectly legitimate chance to take a shot at goal. And so far, you haven't seen the U.S. handle these set pieces particularly well.
Yeah, definitely. I have to say, whatever the game plan was for the Jamaican head coach Theodore Whitmore, I have to say he executed it perfectly.
And I think Whitmore knew what to do.
Yeah.
And Daniel, you're missing the captain of your team and the guy who's like the rock in the center of your back line. I mean, he's been there for how long? And now you're approaching set pieces and organization and all this stuff without him. I mean, I said before the match that this is a, you know, it's a gamble. It's a big risk by Klinsmann, and now he's got to answer questions as far as, you know, was it right to sit Bocanegra? I mean, he hasn't been playing at the top level. He's been at Rangers in the fourth division of Scotland, and now he's moved to the second division of Spain. But, you know, I know that he's not playing, but, you know, he's been there. And he helps organize, and he helps stabilize, and he might help calm nerves. You've got Bradley, you've got Donovan out. Dempsey isn't in form. You need something there to create some sort of stability, and the one guy who had the stability of that lineup, you're yanking him out for Clarence Goodson, who, you know, further contributed to some of the passing woes. So, I don't know. It's a lackluster performance, and, you know, Jamaica did exactly what they needed to do to take advantage of the conservative nature of Klinsmann's tactics. So, kudos to them, and now they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. No, exactly, they are. They're currently topping Group A, USA in second place with 4 points. Currently, with Guatemala and Antigua, it's scoreless in the 20th. And give Theodore Whitmore credit plan. He wanted to execute it the way he did without Donovan, without Michael Bradley, injury and stuff. So basically, it's just where I give Krika. They did a fantastic job on how they wanted to play against the U.S. Obviously, they didn't want to be down a goal, but they were able to. It was very early enough as it was. So, I mean, Jamaica didn't panic, and that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, well, and yeah, they didn't panic. They just went and stuck with a game plan. They, you know, watched the United States be too willing, as we talked before the match, be willing to absorb pressure. And I don't know who ended up winning the possession battle, but it sure seemed like Jamaica's possession was much more fruitful in the long run, that they were more penetrating and their runs were, able to cause more of an issue for the defensive back line as well as the midfield threes than much of anything that the United States did. So, the U.S. was too willing to do that, and Jamaica just, took it right at them. I mean, this is also reminiscent of that match in the Gold Cup where the U.S. Took a loss in the group stage of that. I believe that was to Costa Rica, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Panama.
You're right, it was Panama. It just came to me. I remember, So it's, kind of reminiscent of that, you know, and then back then it was, you know, this is a wake-up call, you know, and I don't know if you needed a wake-up call here. You just came off a huge victory in a friendly at Mexico, and, you know, there should have been confidence coming from that, and now you're going back home kind of with your tail between your legs, and you got to go back to the drawing board and find a way to, right the ship. That's what you got to do. You just got to come back and as a squad, the U.S. has to put it back together again. Whether that be changes in personnel, whether that just be a difference in their mentality going in, how the team talk goes, I don't know. That's for Jurgen Klinsmann to do. But I'll tell you what, off the heels of the Olympic, that fiasco, this doesn't give anybody a whole lot of confidence. Granted, you get two teams qualify from the group, So, I mean, it really has to take a true collapse by the United States for that to happen, I think. But, you know, you basically have to allow Guatemala to sneak in there with would probably take a win at Kansas City by Guatemala. And I don't think that's going to happen, but anyway, it's you know, and there'll be other pundits say, it's just, you know, it's just the way it is. You had half of your, you know, you had most of your top players out. You know, this wasn't that surprising. I think it's pretty surprising. You can't let this happen. You have to at least find a way to get a draw. And he left his options very scarce when it came to changes. Never fully incorporating the forward line, and didn't really have a plan to do that once that didn't happen. I mean, going into this, when you play that kind of a lineup, you have to say to yourself, if there's going to be any issue at all, it's going to be keeping those forwards in the mix. And when you don't do that, then there has to be a plan to fix that. And he waited until darn near the 80th minute to make any changes in that fashion. So, you know, we'll say the 70th minute. It was the 70th minute. That's when Boyd and Che came on. And, it's not a very good advertisement for the way that Jurgen Klinsmann can manage a game and, you know, get things fixed when they need to be fixed in the mid-match.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right there, Earl. I mean, you know, you're without probably two of your big-time players in Bradley and Donovan, and it's just you have to ask questions about what Jurgen was thinking about when he made this starting 11, coming down to probably one of the tougher places in the Caribbean to get 3 points, but still, Jamaica is up and coming once again. Obviously, with the help of Major League Soccer, some of their players are, you know, playing in a top league. Some of their players are playing in Europe. I think the one thing, when you talk about that first goal, even though the foul was called on Kyle Beckerman, and they all jumped during the free kick that sadly went off the inside of his right leg and past Howard, he played that perfectly. It's just that deflection just found a way to go by him.
Yeah, well, and set pieces typically are a bit of a, you know, a crapshoot. I mean, on that second one, I mean, that was just a perfect shot. But the first one, you know, that's going to happen a certain percentage of the time. You know, you're going to get a strange deflection. You know, sometimes, like on a corner, let's say, you get, you know, balls headed across. And, I mean, we've had goals like that. You know, we've seen goals like that happen for the U.S. this time. The deflections, you know, sometimes you could deflect that ball, you know, the ball off of Beckerman's leg would go right to Howard or go wide or go over. This time it goes to a part of the goal where Howard can't get to. I mean, you're going to have those types of flukes, you know, no matter how you play. I mean, you just do the best you can. You know, everybody jumps. That I don't see an issue with that so much. I don't even see an issue with the way that it deflected off of Beckerman. You might just question the veracity of how, you know, Beckerman went into his challenges tonight. And, you know, just like a lot of MLS teams are willing to do, go in there and take a guy down in prime real estate for a free kick. It's, you know, we see this every week in MLS, and teams still fall for it. They want to try to head things off in the pass. They want to get that tackle in there, and they whip their leg, and they clip the guy. And it's just, you know, it's what happens when you aren't willing to take the front foot and you're willing to sit back and absorb and try to play a defensive battle. The breaks just went against the U.S. It was a tough break off a set piece. It was a good low shot, just deflected perfectly for Jamaica. You can't draw those up. You just, you know, if you're Whitmore, you say, hey, awesome, I just got a goal. And, you know, we just got a goal, perfect. You know, we leveled the match. So Hey, what are you going to do? Set pieces can be the great equalizer in soccer. And if you are willing to concede them, eventually you're going to get burned.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right there, Earl. You can't really argue with that thing, with that topic. Obviously, set pieces are going to kill you, unfortunately. But one thing is for sure, though, the USA have a second chance to go back on home soil. They'll be up at Crew Stadium over in Columbus, Ohio, Tuesday night, September the 11th. Maybe that'll give the guys some extra jump, as it is honoring one of the most tragic days in our country's history with the World Trade Center. The Pentagon getting taken out, one section of it, and, of course, the heroic people that they put the airplane crash to stop the terrorists from doing any harm on that field over in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
let's go to some scores here. Yeah, let's go to some scores here. Canada at home winning 1-0 over Panama. Dwayne De Rosario converts his goal in the 77th minute. So at the moment, Canada, I believe, is leading their group. I believe it's Group C. Halftime, El Salvador leading Guyana 2-1. Isidro Gutierrez in the fourth. Ocial Romero in the 21st for El Salvador. Guyana got a goal in the 20th by Teron Bob. At the moment, Guatemala and Antigua are 0-0 in the 29th. Costa Rica and Mexico, they are 0-0 in the 23rd at the moment. Half of the matches in CONCACAF are done. The other half are currently being played right now. And it's just one of those things where, you know, you got to hope not just standings, but goal differential can give you a hand here. Now, at the moment, Earl, the USA has a plus one, while Jamaica's got a plus two. So they're still really not out of the woods yet for the U.S. They got to get 3 points at home, at least tie it up at 7-7. I see Guatemala as the toughest of the two in the rest of in this group, depending on if you're going to need that match to finish off and qualify. But right now, Jamaica has the upper hand on points and on differential. But we'll see what happens when Tuesday comes along. Group B, Mexico leading it with 6 points. Costa Rica with four. El Salvador with one. Guyana, nil. Canada currently leading Group C, 1 point ahead of Panama, who has six. And Honduras with four in third place as they defeated Cuba today by a final of 3-0. And Cuba is 0-3, so I believe they're probably finished by now. I can't see Cuba getting out of the semifinal group with the people they're facing these next three matches.
Yeah, it's I think for the U.S., there shouldn't be too much cause for concern right now. It's just as long as, you know, you come back there in Columbus and take care of business. I mean, it's imperative that they take care of that. You know, you mentioned, it's on this day in, U.S. history that's long going to be remembered, and, you know, whether that, you know, hopefully that's inspiration, not that you should need much inspiration. I mean, this is an important game now. I mean, you've put yourself in a position where you really can't waste a whole lot more points. As long as you stay out ahead of Guatemala, there's no big deal. Once you hit the hexagonal, that doesn't, you know, first or second position doesn't really benefit you at all. It's not like a knockout tournament where you might end up having to face Mexico in a quarterfinal or a semifinal. Instead, you're going to have to face them twice anyway. So, the position isn't that big of a deal. It's just right now it's more disconcerting from the standpoint of looking forward. You just want to see them take care of business in Columbus, and then you can hit October for, you know, the Guatemala and Antigua matches, and hopefully, get back Donovan, get back Bradley, and with a full strength side, be able to take care of business and make sure you get through there into the final round of the qualifying.
Absolutely. Well, Earl, we're going to wrap this thing up early, and We'll concentrate Tuesday on Jamaica coming to Crew Stadium. Thanks a lot for coming on. Hopefully Robert will be able to watch it at home again so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, what bar or he should just stay home and mope.
Yeah, there's a lot of people complaining on Twitter tonight, and I would hope that maybe Comcast has their ears out and maybe they ought to find a way to help their customers who really want to see these matches actually be able to do that. It's a bit of a travesty that they announced all this and they weren't able to deliver. So it's great to be on, and it's tough to talk about a result like this, but
exactly.
But he gave us lots of talking points to go through.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, Tuesday, September the 11th, USA will be hosting Jamaica at Cruz Stadium, ESPN2, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, 7:30 pregame, 10 o'clock postgame here on blogtalkradio.com/4C5. For Earl Reed, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy your football. Thank you.